The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel. And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers complete the exhibition portion of their schedule with a 104-59 victory over St. Francis at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And we're going to talk about it tonight. It's a game, you know, where Indiana, especially the young guys, showed a lot of things to be encouraged by. There was certainly some sluggish play. But all in all, Indiana did what it needed to do through two exhibition games, which is get a couple of dominant wins, get some young guys out there playing at Assembly Hall, feeling good about themselves, and now we get ready for the regular season. But before that, we got a game to break down. So I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms. We're going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start this show the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And boy, you could pick a lot of moments from Jalen Hood-Schifino or Malik Renew for the banner moment. But I'm going to go to the 17-minute mark of the second half. Jalen Hood-Schifino hits his third three-pointer of the game to put Indiana up 34 points. That made Jalen 3-for-3 from downtown, which is where he would finish. And in addition to the shooting early in the second half, Jalen had two assists. He had a steal. Really, as Indiana put St. Francis away. Not that, you know, we were really ever worried about St. Francis threatening, but they really came out, extended the lead early in the second half. And Jalen finished the game with 15 points, 5 assists, and 1 turnover. And, you know, we've heard a lot about Jalen's game and how physically ready he is for college basketball and how good of a defender he is, especially for a freshman, how good of a passer he is, how, he plays at his own pace and doesn't get sped up, like all of these things, making winning plays. And the one question mark was, can he shoot? Well, in game one, he put his mid-range game on display, making 3 mid-range shots of different types. And tonight, put the three-point shooting on display, going 3-for-3. Now, we've said, not going to put too much stock into shooting in a very comfortable situation, which this is, but just getting him out there and seeing not just the results, but the process. The shot form looks good. The release is good. Everything about that looks really good. And if Jalen is going to combine reliable shooting with everything else he brings to the table, then he absolutely changes the ceiling for what this Indiana team can be. And sure, it's only a couple of exhibition games. We'll start seeing Indiana against real competition here moving forward, but we haven't seen anything at all through two games to lessen the hype and the expectations and the optimism for what Jalen can be as early as his freshman season. Okay, and now... Let's talk about Homefield Apparel, because our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel. They are now in their 6th season, I believe, of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and they are the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And look, you know by now, if you've been listening to this show, Homefield Apparel has the greatest selection of vintage IU apparel that you're going to find anywhere. And it's not just Indiana. They've got 140, 150 different schools. They're constantly releasing new designs. They go back and they pull these old logos and brand marks that colleges aren't even using anymore, dust them off, breathe new life into them, and really give you a fun and stylish and nostalgic way to support your favorite college team. And so if you're looking to get gear for this IU season, especially if you're looking for crew necks or hoodies with the weather changing and getting colder, Homefield is the place to go. And if you're looking for a one-stop shop for Christmas shopping, Homefield definitely the place to go, because for almost everybody on your Christmas list, if assuming they're, you know, a college sports fan, you're going to find something that they like. And even if they're not a college sports fan, even if they just like cool designs on comfortable clothes, Homefield Apparel has something for them. So go to homefieldapparel.com and use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your entire first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Again, the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. Okay, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Andy Bottoms, that is you. What is your Bottoms line on this Indiana victory?
Well, if you're going to talk about Jalen Hood-Schifino, it probably makes sense that I would talk about Malik Renew. There was a stretch between the under 12 and the under 8 timeout in the first half. IU scored 12 points. And Renew scored or assisted on, or IU scored 14 points and Renew scored or assisted on 12 of them. Just a really, really strong
Not
performance. Hit that step back in the second half. Tried one, got fouled on it in the first half, and was definitely everything from him was on display. Made some nice passes out of the post. Scored inside, which, you know, in this game, given the lack of size that St. Francis had, that was an area that you'd expect IU to dominate. But I do think it was good to give them at least some opportunities to show their passing ability out of the post and trying to find shooters and ideally guys who would knock the shots down. But I thought it was just another really strong game from Renew. Maybe played a little bit extra tonight because Logan Duncan was out with an illness and certainly made the most of it. But I think if you really look at, I think we talked about last week, you know, what we're looking forward to in the exhibition games. And for me, it was being able to see Jalen Hood-Schifino play in particular, but just the freshmen in general to really at least start to get a first glimpse of what they might be. And so we can look at the competition level and talk about all those things. But I think those guys have both really shown enough to get you even more excited or to believe the hype that those guys had coming in with their recruiting rankings and all those things. And it's impossible to walk away from these games and say those guys aren't going to be two key pieces of the rotation and guys who, to your point, can really elevate the ceiling for this team if they can continue to grow over the course of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Malik's line. He goes 7 for 8, also grabs 8 rebounds. I'm not really that concerned with those stats. You know, I mean, coach was at the game. He may join us later on the show. I'm not sure if he's going to pop in or not. But he was at the game, and he sent us a text message. He was taking pictures of Malik Renew and just talking about how big and physically imposing he is in person. And so you would expect, you know, even a freshman who's that big and physical to be able to go dominate a team like St. Francis. And to a certain extent, you know, Jalen Hood-Schifino, I mean, both of those guys, they don't look physically like freshmen. And there are things they're able to do on the court that they've been able to do on the court in these two exhibition games that are in part simply because they're more athletic and just more physically developed than some of the opponents that they're going up against. And that's fine, but we need to see that stuff against better competition. What I'm really impressed with these two guys, Andy, is all the little things they do that are absolutely going to translate, because it doesn't matter who you're playing. It's about court vision and awareness and body control. Like, you watch Malik Renew, and he'll get the ball toward the baseline. He'll take a hard dribble or two toward the baseline and spin. And a lot of big guys, especially young big guys, would be out of control, losing the ball, losing their footwork. And he's not. He's very much in control and then able to make a decision or make a shot off of that spin move. You know, and you see the same thing from Jalen Hood-Schifino. They're in control of their bodies, and most of the time they're in control of where the ball's going. And that's just not something that you see a lot from freshmen. And so that, to me, is what I'm most impressed by with these guys, is just a lot of those little things. You know, Malik Renew sprints back on defense in the second half. I was going to talk about this in the meaningful moment, but he sprints back on defense in the second half, forces a block shot, grabs the rebound, and just immediately turns and fires an outlet pass, I think, to Jordan Geronimo for a dunk. You know, and just the vision and ability to make that pass, that stuff's going to translate. And so, you know, for everything that those guys bring to the table physically, you can just tell how well they've been schooled in basketball and how high their basketball IQ is. It's really impressive. And you know, so I look forward to seeing them against better competition, but I don't come out of this kind of saying, oh, well, you know, they did this again in these exhibition games. Are they going to be able to do it? Like, I really feel confident that these guys are going to be able to just glide right into the regular season and be productive players.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be bumps in the road as you go through the season, like you'd have with any freshman, but I do think, to your point, those little things, there was a play that I had written down for a potential meaningful moment as well with Huchefino that was actually a pass he made, real quick entry pass into Renew. You know, other guys on the perimeter had not held on to the ball for a long time as IU was swinging it around. He got the ball and immediately knew where he wanted to go with it and got it down to Renew. Good angle, good entry, laid it right up and scored. And I think it just, they're kind of thinking ahead of what the next play is in a way that you probably, you don't feel like you see from freshmen all that much. I think that's the same thing that the play that you mentioned with Renew, you know, gets the rebound and kind of knew what he wanted to do with it immediately without having to think. He just reacted to what was going on. And yeah, I think those things are among the positives that those guys bring to the table. And you're really not going to learn, you know, if you think about these games, like what were we going to learn about Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis tonight, Xavier Johnson, like nothing. But these are guys who you really can learn about from these games. And while, you know, the second half, I was like, man, how are there 11 minutes left in this at a certain point? And then I was watching the Eagles defense on the first drive play just as bad as IU's played for most of the night. And it was, you know, I was like, all right, let's just wrap this up. But I do think it's, you know, these games are more important for some players than others. And I think those two guys are ones that really showed something to get excited about. I'm sure we'll talk about some of the other freshmen, but I think that's really the lens through which to view a game like this. And like similar to what you guys talked about after the Marion game over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think they are Indiana's two best players. And I think there's a lot of nits you could pick with this game. I really didn't feel like Indiana played that well in the first half. Like, I think this was a game where Indiana was just physically dominant. And there's a story there, and we'll talk about it, because I think it speaks to the infusion of talent and just athleticism and size on this roster. But defensively in the first half, I mean, especially those first 8 minutes or whatever it was with the starters, pretty lackluster. You know, I mean, St. Francis didn't really have the dudes to take advantage of it, even though they kind of hung around early. But I don't care. Like, I can't get worked up about it, because you've got Xavier Johnson's in his fifth season of college basketball. Trace is in his fourth season and, you know, nursing a little bit of an injury. I mean, Race Thompson, for God's sakes, he's been here for 6 years. I can't imagine how he's mustering up a lot of motivation to play an exhibition game against St. Francis, and it just kind of looked like it. Now, if we go into the regular season and Race is playing like he did tonight, where he's just a little bit inattentive to the details and the little things, and Race is a little things kind of guy, so it stands out when he's not really doing it and he's a step slow defensively, then I'll get concerned. But I can't get that concerned about it, just given the age of those guys, and you're right, you're not going to learn much about them. But I will tell you something else I noticed in the first half, and that is the defensive intensity picked up immediately when Trey Galloway got in the game. And give credit to the other bench guys too, but I just thought Trey especially, you know, he's so good for that coming off the bench role, because he's always going to give you energy. And the team needed some energy, and I thought he really sparked better play in that first half. But really most of the first half was more Indiana just being physically dominant, and the physical dominance allowing them to overcome mental mistakes and kind of a lack of being fully engaged and fully mentally focused. But it's nice to have a roster that can do that, because there are previous vintages of Indiana basketball that might have struggled more to put a team like this away. And this team was able to just kind of play like a C-minus performance overall. You know, the freshmen were good, but overall as a team, I don't know, C maybe, and, you know, still dominate. So there's something to be said there, but I'm just not going to get worked up about the upperclassmen until we get to games that matter.
Yeah, you're right. I think defensively, IU was really biting on a lot of the ball fakes, shot fakes in the first half. And I think that's, you know, maybe a case of lack of focus, like you talked about. I think some of that is just kind of knowing that you're physically dominant of the other team, and you may be able to make up for some of those mistakes. And IU ended up blocking 9 shots in the first half as they're, you know, letting guys get closer, get to the rim, but knowing that you have somebody back there who in a game like this in particular can erase those opportunities and really make up for some of that. So I tend to agree with you. I thought certainly in the first half, even to a certain extent in the second half, you saw better intensity from the bench guys. But I think to a certain extent, those are the guys, one, really trying to battle for minutes and try to see where a role shakes out. So to them, that's incredibly important. That's why, you know, CJ Gunn is diving on the floor for a loose ball at 40 points with 9 minutes and 45 seconds left in the game, right? Really trying to show something and bring that level of intensity. But I would agree with your point about Galloway. I think there was, you know, a couple of plays where he may have even given up a basket, but guy just hit a really tough shot, but did a good job of trying to keep people in front of him. And as much as anybody did really in the game, I thought was locked in defensively.
Yep. Okay, well, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's victory over St. Francis, we will point out tonight's meaningful moments that you might have missed. Then we will go inside the numbers to highlight some of the most important statistical notes from this game. You are listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the Assembly Call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Gene. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I am Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms. And we are breaking down Indiana's victory over St. Francis tonight in their final exhibition tune-up. And it's the beginning of segment two, so you know what that means. It's time for...
meaningful moments that you might have missed.
Yes, meaningful moments you might have missed, which is brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. So Andy, for this meaningful moment, I want to talk a little bit more about Malik Renew and, you know, just so many impressive things that he did. And one of the things I was really impressed by, you know, you think about times when young bigs really struggle. And a lot of times it's when doubles get sent to them, you know, get sent at them. And St. Francis tried to do that a few times in the first half. And I thought, you know, now look, again, the size of these double teams, not analogous to what, you know, Malik is going to face in the regular season. But again, it was just another example of how calm he is. You know, I don't remember who was the little jitterbug guy that that St. Francis had, because they kind of sent him and they clearly wanted him to, you know, just kind of be a gnat around Malik and try and, you know, slap the ball out of his hands. And I loved how those doubles came and Malik was just calm. He kept the ball high. So he kind of removed that ability for St. Francis to kind of swipe down and get that steal. Didn't seem bothered. He stayed patient, kept his head up, kept his dribble. And every time they sent that double team, he was able to get through it and get a scoring opportunity out of it. And, you know, so again, just these little things that you see from a guy like that, that you can see translating. And he's so strong already. I mean, you're not just going to come up and lightly tap the ball out of his hands anyway. But, you know, those little things that he did just throughout the game, you know, it really makes you think what a nightmare Indiana's going to be to game plan against. It's like last year, hey, if you could get Tracer Race off the court, you know, and now you're facing Michael Durr, you know, outside of maybe one or two games, that was a big advantage. Now you get one of those guys off the court and you got Malik Renew coming at you. And like you said, he'll go through some ups and downs, but he's ready to be a factor. And it's just, again, some of those little things he does that really gives you confidence in that.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about all the different ways he impacted the game tonight, it was, you know, certainly from a rebounding perspective, showed some post moves, as you talked about earlier, showed the ability to step out and take a face-up jump shot. You know, he really did a little bit of everything, and that's just going to make him that much tougher to defend. I agree with what you said. You know, some of the double team is just really being able to see over people well. But that led to some passes. He made some nice passes. There was even another one where he found CJ Gunn in the corner who ended up shooting an air ball on that particular occasion. That was in that same stretch of play where he was, you know, again, scored or assisted on 12 of the 14 points. I mean, it could have been 15 of the 17 if Gunn knocks that shot down, which he's going to do quite a bit over the course of his career. And I just think a lot better. I think people had high hopes for him for sure as a, you know, given, you know, where he played in prep school and some of those things. But I think it's hard to envision a scenario where he hasn't really exceeded everybody's expectations and shown a variety of skills that's more than what I think you would have anticipated, to the point where I'm concerned that coach may have a restraining order coming based on some of the texts he was sending us before the game. But we'll let the legal process play itself out before we determine how that's going to go. But
yeah, if you all want to get the presidency of the Malik Renew fan club, you're going to have to fight Coach Tonsoni for it, because he is all in on Malik Renew. Another moment, Andy. So I don't remember when this was. I think it was in the first half, but Xavier Johnson missed a shot and he just straight out sprinted all the way back on defense and just grabbed the ball from the St. Francis guy that was dribbling it. You know, it was great. I think he missed kind of late. It was like a wild layup. Hustles all the way back to get the steal. He throws it up to Jalen Hood-Schifino, who then has the vision to find Miller Kopp for a wide open three in the corner. And Miller drains it. And so this is the second straight day that in transition, you know, Miller Kopp has done a really nice job of finding the open space and draining a three. And so, you know, now through two games, Miller is 4-for-4 from the field and 3-for-3 from three-point range. Extraordinarily small sample size, comfortable environment to shoot in. You know, I'm not all that concerned with that, although it's obviously nice to see anybody make shots. But what I do continue to really like to see is how this team is playing in transition. That's the one thing I thought they did really well tonight, which was have their head up, be able to find the guys who were open, and whether it was to find a three-point shooter or to find, you know, someone at the basket for a lob. I thought we saw a lot of good decisions in transition today. And Miller Kopp, if he is able to continue to do that and find the space, he's going to get a lot of those transition three opportunities. And so, you know, I think Indiana still seems to struggle to find him in the half court. It's like they forget he's there. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But I think more so than last year, he's going to be able to find space and transition for a team that's really going to be able to get out in transition. And if he's able to make that, I mean, just, you know, much better shot form this year, it feels like. I felt like a lot of times last year he would drift on shots like that. He's really being patient, setting his feet, you know, going straight up with that shot, and it looks great. And so I look forward to him getting many of those transition opportunities this season, and he's got guys like Jalen who can find him when he's open.
Yeah, I thought as a whole, the offense really performed well in transition tonight. They weren't really running as much, it felt like, in the half court. It just seemed like a game they could get the shot they wanted whenever they wanted. But I really thought they flourished when they got out and ran, whether that was, you know, finding Bates in transition, that play that you mentioned, I think it was early in the second half. But I marked that one down as well. You know, X kind of takes exactly, I used the exact same word that you did, wild drive. And then all of a sudden just fired down the court, steals the ball. And, you know, a couple seconds, a couple passes later, you got a wide open three in the corner. And I think the vision that Hood-Schifino has shown, already is a really exciting thing for this offense. And I looked at coaches posting some of Woodson's post-game comments in the chat, and one of them was, he said to Xavier Johnson after the game, you don't have to do it all this year. Mm-hmm. And you're just trying to do too much and whatever. I thought he pressed a little bit during the course of the game, but I do think, to your point, finding ways to get this team out in transition. Got a lot of athletes, got a lot of depth. How do they speed things up a little bit to be able to get some easier looks than the half court, which can be a little bit of a slog at times.
Are you concerned at all about X? I mean, he's 5 assists or 6 assists, 5 turnovers. He's 5 for 19, I think, shooting. I just want to pause and make sure. I know we're not concerned about Race or Trace. Concerned at all about X and 0 for 7 from 3?
No,
I'm not wrong.
I'm not either, but I wouldn't say that it's not on anybody's radar at this point either. You know, I do think there's a little bit of a transition for him having to share the ball with somebody else, and how they kind of divvy up the workload. They each brought the ball up the court at times with Ochofino. So I do think there's a little bit of an adjustment period with that. But it just feels like he's trying too hard to really get himself going instead of letting things happen and going about it that way. So I think he'll ultimately be fine. And we'll be a bit more locked in when real competition starts. So I'm definitely not hitting the panic button by any stretch, but it is something to watch as you get into these first few games, and can he settle in a little bit? But I think the comment that Woodson made is pretty accurate. Yeah. He's got to figure out how to adjust the way that he needs to play with this supporting cast and with this group of players compared to the way he had to play last year.
Yeah. A couple other moments. There was a really nice sequence where Tamar Bates had a nice cut to the basket. Malik Renew found him, and he was able to finish. Tamar finished with 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting. You know, the outside shot didn't look very good, but I thought, you know, I was impressed with his what's the right word? He just seemed committed to producing on offense. And it felt like he kind of struggled to get into the flow offensively, but he was able to, you know, make some cuts and find some space and just do some little things to get points on the board. You know, and I think last year we saw him press at times and press unproductively. And tonight he was able to produce, even though it still never quite felt like he was really in rhythm or in the flow. He was able to get some points up. And I just think for a guy like that, you know, where scoring is going to be the biggest thing he brings to the game, you know, to be able to do that and kind of play uneven, but still at the end of the night, you got double-digit points up there on the board. I think that's a good sign. The other moment that really stood out, and credit to Tyler Toshman, who tweeted it, you know, CJ Gunn dives on the floor for a loose ball during an exhibition game. Later, he hits a three. That energy plus 3-point shooting off the bench could be very useful, especially when trying to carve out a role as a freshman. And, you know, we had a text exchange talking about how, boy, it sure looks like he's going to get some minutes somehow, some way. And, you know, we need to be obviously patient, you know, with him and see what happens when the games are real. But you continue to look at that shot form and look at that release. It certainly seems like it's going to translate. Now, physically, you know, he's not at the same level of Jalen and Malik. And so I think there's going to be some limitations there. And defensively, teams are going to target him when he's on the court, but he's not going to struggle defensively for lack of hustle or, you know, heart or grit. And sometimes it kind of feels like you have to speed freshmen up even on that part of it. And he's got that, and he's got the shot, you know? And so I know he was 1 for 5. He missed a few late. But it does look like, for a team obviously that has been starved for shooting and a shot that looks like it's ready even in the first season, a lot of encouraging signs from CJ again, I think, for the second straight game.
Yeah. On Tamar, I felt like he was really pressing when he first came in. A little bit of what we saw from him a season ago. And I think it's probably a bit of an adjustment as well. With that second unit that he played with last year, he kind of had to do that. I don't think that's as necessary this year, especially because, you know, Ochofino was kind of the holdover between the first unit and the second unit there for a little while. And with Renew in there, the burden of scoring that I think Bates felt with that group last year doesn't need to be the same this year. And I just thought he pressed early on. But so I think he'll settle in. Was a little bit rusty, didn't play the last game. I think there's a little bit of that. Just having the chance for him to get out there and play a little bit will be a good thing, and I think he should hopefully settle in. As far as CJ Gunn, what you said about him on defense is 100% true. I mean, he was one of the guys I talked about, you know, guys really biting on, you know, shot fakes. He was one that was just all over the place, got lost a couple times, you know, letting somebody drive in behind him a little bit. But it certainly wasn't lack of effort. I think he wants to almost too much impact the game on that side of it, when I think if he can focus on doing what he does best, shooting, and just keeping his man in front of him without having to feel like you got to make the spectacular play on defense, I think that'll serve him well. But he's certainly playing, you know, like I said, this is a game you might learn a little bit more about him. And he played like a guy who just dying to get more minutes and really wants to be on the court, which is never a bad thing when you're trying to do that. I mean, otherwise, I don't think you're, like I said, I wrote it down. It was 9 minutes and 45 seconds left. It's like a 40-point game, 35-40 point game. And he's, you know, going full out, diving on the floor to do whatever. And so I think we talked about, you know, at the beginning of the season, there'll be games when he can really provide a spark coming off the bench offensively. And so it's just a matter of figuring out how you rein him in enough on defense so that he's not a liability on that end. But he certainly gives you a lot. And I loved even at the end of the game, didn't really matter how much they were up. He got an open shot. It was going up. So
love that mentality.
Got to respect it.
Shoot or shoot, man. Shoot or shoot. All right. It is time to go inside the numbers, Andy. Let's pick out a few numbers. I am going to keep harping on the same thing, which is Indiana's three-point shooting. The Hoosiers, 7 of 19 overall, which was 36.8%. But, you know, they were shooting over 40% for most of the night, missed a few of those late, you know, when the game got a little bit ragged. But the truth is, I'm not that concerned about the percentage anyway in a game like this. What I am concerned about is how many threes Indiana is taking. And 19 threes out of 66 shots is just 28.7% of your shots from three. Again, Indiana was about 31% last year, which was in the 300s nationally. There continues to be more room for this team to take more three-point shots. Now, the caveat to that, Andy, is, you know, you're so physically dominant in games like this, and you can get what you want inside at any point. I'm not going to be too worried about it until we start seeing this in the regular season. You know, I do think there's something to be said for habits and kind of the shots that you habitually get offensively. And I know that this team, with how good it is inside, is always going to skew a little bit more towards pounding it inside. But with what appears to be a better shooting team than last year, we have to see it in the regular season. But, you know, you can kind of start to see now. I mean, Trey's shot looks a little bit better. If Huchefino is better than we think, if Gunn can make shots, you know, maybe this team can be a 34, 35% shooting team. Either way, even if it is 33%, a pathway to more efficiency is getting more of them up. So it's just something to watch. I would have liked to see more here in the exhibition games. We didn't see it. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. Because I don't think, you know, shooting 28, 29, 30% of your shots from three with this roster, I just don't think you need to do that. I mean, this team can shoot better than that. So I want to see them continue to get more of those up. And I think they'll be a more efficient offense if they do.
Yeah, hard part about this is, you know, you look 64 points in the paint for IU, which is more than St. Francis scored the entire game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So that's where it's a matter of, do you treat this game in a way that's not playing to the clear advantage that you have, which I thought they actually, you know, kind of did at times. They were the kinds of threes they got tonight are the kinds of threes they're going to need to take and make during the regular season. They're kickouts from the post, or, you know, cross court passes out of the post to open guys when they're doubled, and they're threes in transition, like the cop one that we talked about. I think those are the threes that are going to be best suited for this particular team. I don't know that you're going to see a ton coming off the dribble. I don't know that you're going to, you know, run a ton of sets in the half court to get a lot of that. But I think those are the two kinds of threes that this team really needs to take. And some nights you're going to get more of those than others, depending upon how people play you inside, and depending upon the pace of the game. But I mean, I would agree. I think they've shown enough to think there are some improvements from an actual shooting perspective, that if and when they do take more in a game, that won't be to their detriment offensively.
To be clear, I'm not raising a red flag. I'm putting a pin in it. Let's put a pin and check back on it. No red flags yet. Just putting a pin in it. You know, you mentioned, you know, running stuff in the half court. You know, I find myself thinking about this, you know, because Miller Kopp will be out there and you'll kind of forget he's there. And I feel like they forget he's there offensively. And, you know, look, if he's ready to be that guy that can make 37, 38, 39% of his threes, I'd like to see him run something for him every now and then to get him a shot and get going. You know, I think he's better than just waiting for the game to get him shots. Like, I think every now and then it would be nice to see Indiana run something that says, this is our shooter, let's get him a look. You don't see that a lot, and I think that's why he only has 4 shots through 2 games. But that's something I'd like to see to kind of get him in the flow a little bit. The other number, Andy, that I want to discuss, and again, no red flags, but I'm going to stick a pin in this also. Do we have any concerns about this team from a rebounding perspective? It's 2 straight games where they've given up double-digit offensive rebounds. And I get part of that is overmatched teams that are taking a lot of threes, and so you're going to get a lot of long rebounds. But they certainly are giving up. And again, you've got some upperclassmen that I'm not sure attacking every rebound, you know, with 100% focus. But that's something that, you know, you'd certainly like to see cleaned up in these first 2 regular season games.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm overly worried about that. I think you saw some wild shots. Some of those were getting shots back after an IU block. I think there were a couple of those where they got back to them. So I wouldn't say that I'm overly worried about it. I mean, there's really no reason that this team shouldn't be an excellent rebounding team between Race, Trace, Renew, even Hutchinson from a guard perspective. We talked about guard rebounding so much last year. He certainly has the size to be good at that. I'm not overly worried about that one quite yet.
And to be clear, for total rebounds, Indiana out rebounded them 35-18, and I'm sure the percentages were crazy. So,
yeah, I think that was on defensive rebounds was 35-18.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, that was defensive rebounds.
In total, it was still a pretty wide margin, but
yeah. Okay. Anyway, those are two. Then the reason I bring those up is there are 2 stats where the team hasn't exactly shown the habits I would like to see. It may not matter. That's the thing with these exhibition games is you go back and listen to takeaways we've had from before. A lot of times they don't matter once the regular season starts. And so I'm fully prepared to look back on these and say, okay, you know, those were just 2 singular games that didn't mean anything for the regular season. But those are 2 habits in particular I'd like to see cleaned up a little bit in these first 2 regular season games. What numbers stood out to you?
I mean, it wouldn't be a post-game show if we didn't talk about IU's free throw shooting, would it? if we want the good, you got Trace Jackson Davis at 7-for-8. If you want the not so good, everybody else 4-out-of-10. Now, I think it was Tony Adrani who pointed this out on Twitter. You know, this game was a lot of you're overmatching them physically inside, and the guys who are getting fouled are the big guys who may not be your best free throw shooters, as opposed to, you know, Xavier Johnson, Hutchinson, some of the guards going to the basket. So again, I don't know that that's one to truly sound the alarm on yet either, but you know, like I said, it just wouldn't be normal if we couldn't talk about that.
I mean, Trace was 7-for-8.
That's so what I said. That was the good part. Good. So yeah, that was the good part. So
that was good.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the other numbers back up from a transition standpoint. They had, you know, 28-4 in fast break points, 21 points off turnovers. I think a lot of those things bode well, but is really more of a physical advantage than anything, which I guess is a good segue. So from a player perspective, one other guy that I wanted to talk about, and I guess I'll use the stats to do it, is Jordan Geronimo. So he ends up with 10 points, 5-of-5 shooting. I think everything was a dunk, 8 rebounds. But what did you think about how he played? I think those numbers are a bit misleading. What have been your thoughts on him as you look at, you know, again, he is, again, I think a guy that I think we can learn something about in these games, yes, especially as people want to project what's he going to be. He came back. What position is he playing? What things is he doing? I know you guys talked about him a lot and in the Marion game, got in some foul trouble. What were your thoughts tonight in terms of how that may have been better or worse since that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a guy you can learn a lot about depending on what he does. What were the things we were looking for him to do this year? Handle the ball more, pass more, you know, shoot more, guard guys out on the perimeter. What I thought you saw from Jordan today was him really doubling down on the stuff he's awesome at against a team that couldn't match him physically, you know, and so the rebounds and the dunks and the steals, like he was out there doing Jordan Geronimo things. And we know there are going to be at least 8-10 games this year where he has a huge impact because he does exactly what he did tonight. It's what he did as a freshman. He did it even more as a sophomore. And so I think you can safely project forward that he'll be able to do that stuff intermittently throughout the season and at times when Indiana really needs a boost. But I don't feel like I learned a lot new about him. Like the stuff that we saw him do tonight, it's all the stuff, again, that we've seen and, you know, against a team that wasn't going to be able to stop him. So, you know, I didn't see anything that suggests to me that, you know, he's ready to play more on the wing. And, you know, again, he didn't need to do that stuff tonight, but it wasn't on display. So I kind of feel about Jordan the same way I do. And, you know, I think he can be a very productive player for this team. If all he is what he was last year, he'll be a productive player. And if he can take a step forward on the stuff he's already good at, he's going to be a productive player. But no, through two exhibition games, I don't think we've seen anything that leads me to believe he's going to expand his role, especially when you've got some extra options on the wing and an extra option down low. So that's probably about where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, as I was watching toward the end of the game, you know, he's out there. He's just everything he did was just the gap between him and everybody else on the floor from an athleticism standpoint was so wide that it was, oh, well, you could just go get every rebound and out jump everyone. Yeah. And, you know, the baskets he scored were all dunks where he just physically was able to overpower people, get in position, jump over people, whatever. It so doesn't mean he's not going to take that leap, but there wasn't anything that we saw in these two exhibition games that really make you feel, okay, that's definitely going to happen. Still could, but it was, like you said, more of the same. And more of the same can still impact this team in a positive way. But I think for those thinking he was going to take this big leap, either positionally or in some other way, I don't think we've seen that yet. But that doesn't mean that we won't see it.
Yep. Okay, coming up on this edition of the Assembly Call, we are going to hand out our game balls and the Hoosier Hustle Award. We will discuss a lingering question or two, and then we'll look ahead to Indiana's upcoming opponent. That's next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Ethan Happ, and I never listen to the Assembly Call, especially the episodes that Ryan is on.
Thank you, Ethan. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. Roughly 10,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed to that. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That is join.assemblycall.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a fun new sponsor here for our final segment. Our final segment is brought to you by our new sponsor, True Blood Real Estate. And Jim True Blood is the founder and owner of True Blood Real Estate. Ooh, hold on. I've got a fancy little graphic for this as we up the production value here of what we're doing. Look at that. Bring up the True Blood Real Estate logo right there. So Jim, he founded True Blood Real Estate. He's been helping people in Indiana buy and sell properties since 2006. And he and I actually go back even further than that. So Jim and I were friends in middle school, back when I lived in Lafayette. And in fact, the first ever NCAA tournament games I attended were with Jim and his family. We went to a slate of games in Dayton. And here we are 3 decades later. Things have come full circle with True Blood Real Estate, now the exclusive and official real estate partner of IU Athletics, with a team of talented agents to serve you in Bloomington and throughout Indiana. So if you're looking to buy or sell real estate in Indiana, you need to experience the True Blood advantage. Go to truebloodre.com to learn more. That's truebloodre.com, and tell them the Assembly Call sent you. All right, I'm Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms. Andy, it is time for game balls. Why don't you hit us first? Who gets your game ball?
I'm going to go with Malik Renew. Led the team. No, I guess did not lead the team with 15 points. Trace had 19, but 15 points on 7 of 8 shooting, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, no turnovers. Showed a little bit of everything over the course of his 20 minutes, and just continue to be really impressed with him and the variety of things he was able to do on the court. Plus, I don't want to disappoint Coach since he's not here, so I'm going Malik Renu.
By the way, was this the most forgettable 19.9 rebound, 2 block performance ever by a player? We haven't really talked much about Trey, so it was great to see him out there. You know, he's obviously got the right hand wrapped. It didn't seem to bother him too much. And he was, you know, just out there doing Trey's things. Had, again, made the free throws, did a nice job finishing on an oop. But not really going to learn much from him. I guess that's what an All-American should do in a game like this. It was just nice to see him get out there and get a sweat in, really, before the real game start.
Yep, agreed.
All right, Andy, you went with Malik and his 15 points and 8 boards. I got to give my game ball to Jalen, who I thought was, you know, from start to finish, the most consistent Hoosier. And, you know, really came out in the second half and I thought played really well. And that seeing a guy like that, you know, freshman, where I think it would be pretty easy for a guy in a game like this to come out and be kind of lax. And I thought he really stepped it up at the start of the second half. And so I'm going with Jalen, who just once again was a stat sheet stuffer and showed us all the reasons why people are excited, which means, of course, that I don't have my little drum roll soundbite. Man, preseason. I got to get that stuff. I got to get that lined up. That means we got to go to the chat mob. So chat mob, it is over to you. Jalen Huccifino or Malik Renu, who gets the game ball? You all break the tie. And while you are doing that, Andy, we will move on to the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
Andy, this chat mob vote looks very even.
It does.
Can you discern a winner?
Every time I would be like, oh, there's a few for that guy. He must have it wrapped up. And then like 3 votes would come in for the other guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're calling it a tie.
We've never had to actually count the votes. It usually was always overwhelming enough. But see, like I kind of was ready to lean Huccifino, and then the last 3 people put Renu in there.
I know. I mean, if Coach were here, he definitely would pick Renu. And Ryan did say in his text message that the story.
Tony's doing the count. He said 9-9 split right now.
Okay. All right, Tony, you finalize it.
Actually doing the.
I do think if the rest of our crew was here, they both would have voted for Malik. So we can also use that as a tiebreaker.
We know Coach would have. I don't know for sure about Ryan, but we know that Coach would have.
Ryan would have found some way to give it to Race, probably. All right, Hustle Award. I'm giving the Hustle Award to Trey Galloway, whose energy I thought really stood out because of the overall lack of energy from the team coming out of the gates. And I thought him coming in the first half really changed the tone. Defensively, he made a huge impact. And otherwise, just did Trey Galloway, you know, had a nice 3-pointer. I think he had 3 assists and 1 turnover. You know, really, I think for the second straight game, showed all the reasons why people will always doubt Trey, and then he'll always find a way to get minutes, as Jeff Marlowe and the Trey Galloway fan club just sit there nodding their heads. We should just expect it. But I thought he just did all those little things, and he brought the most energy to the court tonight. So I'm giving it to Trey.
Yeah, I will second that. That's who I was going to go with as well. We talked about his defense. I will give honorable mention to Anthony Leal, who did the read for that. There was a play toward the end. It was like a 3-on-1 break, and he really busted it down the court to force St. Francis to take a longer shot and did break that up. So I was impressed with that. And fitting, I suppose, that he's the spokesman for the award on that end of things. But, yeah, I'll go with Trey as well.
All right, Andy, lingering question. So I gave you the 2, not red flags, but just pins that I'm interested to watch these first couple games. What's your biggest lingering question? Like what's the thing that's lingering in the back of your mind as a a potential concern or just something you wonder about. And chat mob, if you have one, drop it in there too.
Yeah, it's you know, I think we've talked about a lot of them. I know you talked about this couple. We talked about Xavier Johnson. And I think those are the ones that feel like they you know, that they stand out in that regard. I guess to a certain extent, I still wonder how the rotation is going to be split up. We continue to see in these games, you haven't really had everybody at your disposal. Although tonight, based on everything you read, you probably had your likely top 10 guys there. Do we continue to see these kind of first, second unit type things? And I like Tuchifino tonight being the guy who bridged the gap between those. I just don't know long-term if that's what you want to do. And I think, you know, I believe that coach said something that, you know, Woodson said something to the effect of, you know, still trying to figure out how these cats play together or something to that effect. So maybe he's just working through some of those things, but that to me is concerning and maybe not seeing him change the way that he's doing his in-game management of rosters, lineups, whatever is something that's there. It's just really hard given the nature of these games and the blowouts that you're already not going to give guys a lot of minutes. So I say it's lingering for that reason, just because these games didn't provide a great opportunity to see that, but you did still see kind of that first unit, second unit mentality in both.
You know, Keith, who sports a great last name of Morris, he brings something up in the chat that actually I was just thinking about mentioning too. And he says, you know, hard to say, but Bates didn't look as good as I was expecting him to. And so again, not a red flag, just a pin. And we talked about this in our text chain, Andy, during the game. You know, look, Tamar's been out, hasn't practiced in a little while, and all those things. And, you know, it's just an exhibition game. So there's a lot of reasons, I think, to dismiss any serious concerns. But still, viscerally, I kind of felt the same way. Like, I was kind of hoping, I guess, maybe hoping slash expecting to see more, I guess, versatility and confidence offensively. And, you know, we didn't see it. And, you know, there may be a lot of reasons why he didn't get in the flow. And I already lauded him for still finding a way to score 10 points anyway, which I do think matters. You know, but I think a lot of the talk in the offseason about him as a breakout type guy who really raises the ceiling for the team is if he can be a three-level scorer. You know, and we didn't really see any of the shooting. We didn't see anything from the mid-range. It was just a lot of stuff at the basket, which translates more this year because he's clearly put a lot of work into his body and is more physically ready. But I'm still not sure he's ready to score consistently at the rim yet on some of the looks he got tonight. So I'll share, you know, Keith's just question about that. I think it's something to watch through the first two games. And I think if he comes out and looks more in the flow, we can pretty easily dismiss this probably as a guy who's missed a few days of practice and just didn't get in the flow. But, you know, for anybody expecting kind of a transcendent breakout offensive performance, you didn't see that. And maybe it'll just take a little while to get there. But I think something else that's just worth putting a pin in and paying attention to here as we get into regular season play, which Mr. Bottoms starts on Monday. So a pretty quick turnaround for the regular season to start. The Hoosiers will face Moorhead State. That game will tip at 7 o'clock Eastern. Is that on BTN Plus, too? Did they put that
I
one?
I believe it is. I think the first, the two exhibitions in the first game were, I think all three of them were right in a row.
Yeah. What do we need to know about Moorhead State?
They are one of the potential favorites in a much worse than last year Ohio Valley Conference that lost Belmont and Murray State. So that is certainly a big factor there. I think, you know, and that conference in general is, like I said, is really down. It looks to be them and actually Tennessee Martin, where Parker Stewart transferred to, that are kind of the top two teams in that. They lost a decent amount, I believe. So should be a game that IU should be able to win handily, even though there's maybe a little bit of name recognition value to Moorhead State. They've had a few good years here and there, but I think a down year for them, at least projected, even though they're projected to be toward the top of the league, but the league is not what it has been in the last few years.
By the way, also got to give a hat tip to Nathan Childress, 5 points and a dunk tonight. That was Impressive stuff. It's nice. Yeah. That's one of the fun parts about these games is seeing those guys able to get out there and have a cool moment at Assembly Hall. That was nice to see.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. He had, I think he had an assist thrown in there as well. So yeah, he played well.
You are listening to the Assembly Call IU Post Game Show. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Andy, it's time for last call. Your final thoughts on this Indiana victory.
Well, I think as you go into these games, you're trying to, one, emerge with nobody getting injured. And although IU's battled a few illnesses and injury, nobody got injured in these particular games at least. So I guess that's good. As you look at it that way. And the biggest thing is really to get some of the young guys some opportunities to play, get their feet wet in Assembly Hall, and hopefully get them ready to go. And I think if you look at it that way, those things have been accomplished. We certainly have, at least we think we've learned some things about the freshmen and how deep this team might be, and whether the belief that people, some of those notions that, well, this is just the same team from last year. I think the way that the new guys have played has certainly dispelled that for even IU fans who may have walked into the season having that belief. So in that regard, I think it's positive. And now you're really ready to see, can you get the competition level to ratchet up just a little bit? And do you see a different level of focus defensively than what you saw in the game tonight? Do you see the rotations look a little bit different? You know, what becomes different when the competition ratchets up, even if it's just slightly? It's kind of what you look for ahead of this. But I think the biggest positives to come out of these games are the play of Huchefino and Renew, just to take it back to what we started with. I mean, we could have filled the whole first segment and probably came damn close to it just by talking about those two guys, which is exciting. And so, as we said, you're not going to learn a lot about some of the guys that you have coming back, but I do think you learned some things about those two guys and how important they're going to be to IU going forward. And excited to get the season going on Monday.
Yeah, if you didn't watch the game, you're just tuning in to the show, you may be wondering, hey, you guys spent a lot of time talking about Logan Duncombe, the first show. What happened to him tonight? He did not play. Caleb Banks did not play. I think Duncombe's was an illness. Banks, injury, I think. I don't think either one is considered serious. So hope to have those guys back for the regular season. Yeah, Andy, I agree. I kind of look at these two games, and I would say it's a B to a B plus. Like you achieve the most important things, which are get some dominant wins, build confidence with your young guys, avoid any serious injuries. You even got two, really key guys back from injury, who had to miss the first game. So I think you did a lot of the things that you wanted to do, and you can just see that there's another level of talent. There's another level of just athletic ability, of physical dominance that this roster is going to have that we haven't had, that is going to allow Indiana to win games when they might have, B-level focus and execution. They're going to be able to out-physical people, and that's nice to see. But, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a small part of me that kind of wanted to see a little bit crisper basketball, a little better play from Xavier. Like, you kind of go in with these maybe unspoken expectations for yourself, and so I was left wanting on a few things. But you don't want to be peaking too early anyway. So I think those concerns are very, very muted. I think we saw everything we needed to see to believe that this team is the rightful Big Ten favorite, to believe that this team is a legitimate, top 15 level team, and is going to have a really good chance to successfully navigate a difficult non-conference schedule. Rock solid first couple games, and now we get into the regular season. The competition level ratchets up. Should still be two games, to start off the season that Indiana is able to handle comfortably before you get to that Xavier game. But we will take them one at a time, as we always do, and look forward to breaking them down and having some fun with you here on the postgame show. So that will do it for us. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you, as always, to Bob Thompson for the music that you hear on the show. And special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Monday for the first regular season game. Until then,
take it from me, Juwan Morgan. Keep your elbows in, eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
Excellent. Andy, look at that, man. That is two straight post-game shows in under an hour. We are absolutely hitting on our early season focus points.
Yes. Yes. The scouting report. We're really dialed into the details. It's good. Good. The Eagles, on the other hand, have decided to let the Texans hang around for reasons unbeknownst to everyone. Apparently, Jordan Davis being out is apparently crippling their ability to stop the run. So,
oh boy, dude, it's Thursday night, right? Yes, yeah, Thursday night. Yeah. Crazy things. I don't know why. I'm not a fan of Thursday night football. It's just you don't get a good product on Thursday.
I'm about to not be either if this continues. So.
Hey, for private community members. We are doing, you might remember a couple years ago, we did Banner Monday, where we did a kind of a new weekly show. Mike DeCourcy was a guest. We're going to be doing it this year. It's called Banner Friday. It's only for our private community members. If you're curious about that, you can go to assemblycall.com/community. We've had a lot of new people join. We've got so much stuff planned. You know, last week I posted a Q&A with Anthony Leal only for community members. We had an interview with Mike DeCourcy only for community members. And so we're going to be doing that on Friday. It'll be a way, for people who aren't on post-game shows, like Coach, who is at the game tonight, he's going to give you his observations from being up close and personal. So expect to hear a lot about Malik Renew tomorrow from Coach Tonsoni, if his texts are any indication. And we're going to use it to answer questions, bring in guests. And we have a scheduled interview on Monday for community members with Coach Yah, to talk some X's and O's, talk about some of the stuff Indiana was running. That content's only going to be for our community members. We love everybody who listens to the podcast and listens to the show, but we're really trying to build something special with our private community. So you can get more, assemblycall.com/community, but a lot of fun content that's going to be in there. And we just created a private podcast feed so that if you get into the community, you can subscribe to the private feed and get all that content via audio and listen to it right where you listen to your regular episodes of Assembly Call. So assemblycall.com/community, a lot of fun stuff coming up there. Andy, anything else before we call it a night? I'm going to go write the post-game email.
No, I don't think so. Well, one good thing for anybody who's in the Cincinnati area, the Alumni Association here reached out about doing something before the IU Xavier game. So we'll be doing that at one of the breweries here and convince Coach and Amy to come down for the evening and hang out. So we'll be doing that on whatever that Friday is. I think it starts at 4:30.
Nice.
When it is. So if anybody's around, that is where we'll be. I don't believe we're going to the game. I was talking to somebody, a friend of mine last night. We saw each other at basketball practice. He was picking up his daughter and he's an IU grad. He was like, yeah, I'm trying everything I can to try to find reasonably priced tickets and it is not going well. Cintas Center is a great place to watch a game, but is not overly large. And thus, for a game like this, tickets sounds like they're fairly hard to come by. So
I wonder if it's too late to get media passes.
I don't know.
I'll ask.
I don't know. We may just end up watching the game there because if I'm going to go, probably not a great idea to do something at a brewery, have a couple of beers, and then go sit in the media section. Probably. I mean, what could go wrong?
Second half, lots of bad calls. Andy's running on the court like Dennis Hopper and Hoosiers.
Just, what could go wrong? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because if you've never sat with Andy at a game, he's very mild-mannered here on the show, but the legend of in-person Andy Bottoms is it has a reputation for a reason. Those officials don't want to be making bad calls. By the way, Brad says, when's the interview with Coach Yaw with them playing Monday? We're doing it early Monday morning, so before their shoot around. So I think Coach Tonsoni and Coach John, you're going to be there too. Because we don't want it to just be kind of the same old stuff. How does this guy look? How does that guy look? We really want to try and get into some basketball X's and O's type stuff with him. So that's going to be the plan. All right, Andy, go watch the Eagles for your sake and my brother-in-law's sake. I hope they're able to come back and get a victory.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Let's hope. All right, everybody, have a great night, and we'll see you all soon.
Have you ever wondered how to say good morning in Italian? Or what is goodbye in French? You can ask Alexa. Just say, what is happy birthday in German? Or how do you say hello in Japanese? Do you want to know how to say I love you in Spanish? Ask Alexa and start learning a new language today.